when you read about the fallen angels, you know, they came down to breed with daughters of man. I mean, you look at that and you're going, how could somebody make that up?
Yeah.
And then what do they mean if it's true? So as a scholar, what did they mean?
Yeah, interesting you should ask that. I noticed that one of the guests last night was talking about that very passage in the book of Genesis. You look at the passage itself, and it mentions this group of beings, whoever they are, called the Nephilim.
Mm-hmm.
It's only one verse. That's it. One verse in the Hebrew text that there were Nephilim in those days. You find one other brief verse in the book of Numbers about the Nephilim, and it invites speculation. I think these two tiny passages have invited more speculation than any in world literature, and yet you look at them and you say, what's there to go on here? Like, where's the beef?
Right,
you know?
Right. Yet it's there. It's there. Included.
And you have to think there's got to be something more, and sure enough, you look at these apocryphal books, the ones that didn't make it. The book of First Enoch, for example, has all manner of additional information that the Bible doesn't tell you. And there must have been a whole fund of knowledge, a whole folklore related to an angelic host. The book of Enoch calls them the Watchers. And if we read that ancient text, it says that while the sons of men multiplied, fair and lovely daughters were born to them, and the Watchers, these are some angelic hosts, they're not mentioned in the Bible per se. Those sons of heaven, it tells us, were attracted to them, lusted after them, and they said to one another, let's seek out the daughters of men and rear sons for ourselves. It says there were 200 of them altogether.
I mean, yeah, they were that specific in even numbers. They counted them.
Yeah, they counted them. They descended on the summit of Mount Hermon, that's in northern Galilee, during the days of Enoch's father, Yared. And then the text goes on. Elsewhere it says, the women became pregnant by the Watchers and gave birth to the giants, who grew up to be 3,000 cubits tall. They were born according to the laws of nature, and grew up at a constant rate. None were able to provide for their rapacious appetites. Therefore, the Nephilim, the giants, conspired to kill the men and eat them. They conspired, in other words, to devour humankind from off the face of the earth. And the text goes on and tells us that whereas in traditional Bibles the idea is that it was simply sin that caused the waters of the flood to be sent in the days of Noah, the Lost Bible tells us it was the Nephilim. It was this race of hybrids, as it were, who might have destroyed humanity had it not been for the destruction of the flood waters. That was the real reason that the flood came.
To get rid of them, not us.
To get rid of it. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, this is a whole wealth of tradition that most people never even knew existed, nor could they find it in traditional Bibles.
I did not know about the passage that they were eating human beings.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what I've done in my own book called Secrets from the Lost Bible is I've gone back to these original apocryphal books that never made it, and I've retranslated them into more of a flowing English, even a semi-paraphrase, so that modern people can pick this up and say, wow, you know, I didn't know this existed before, and really cuddle up with this material. Now. Of course, again, as a scholar, I have to hedge a little bit, and I cannot tell you what the text means. I can just tell you what it says. Now, what people do with that is a matter of interpretation. You know, and you can take that any way you want. You can do as Zachariah Sitchin, and you can posit that, in fact, this was a whole race of aliens who came and impregnated human women.
True.
And there have, as we know, been tales of UFO abductions, alleging that men and women are taken into space,
mm-hmm.
perhaps sexually used. I noticed, again, one of your guests last night talked about some kind of sexual assault by a being. And who is this being? Who can say?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it is more than tantalizing to find ancient depictions of similar stories. As a scholar, I can't go there, as it were. But I can say, here's the text.
But you can also say something happened.
Something happened. Now you can take that literally. You can also take it on an allegorical level. And that's something I want to challenge people to do. Whatever you do with the idea of, say, an alien visitation, if you want to go there, fine. But don't miss the allegorical level in this, that if you understand even human beings as angelic, in a sense, what's really the problem that's related here is desire, lust, wanting something additional than what's inside of us. When we mix divine with flesh, we end up producing monsters, and we can make ourselves into monsters, following our own rapacious appetites, as it were, as opposed to keeping ourselves thinking the right way, meditating on the right things, on the kind of things that bring forth health and long life and this kingdom of heaven, this rabbinical term. So you can take these stories and you can internalize them as well. And let's not forget that aspect.